Thank you, worship team. Let's pray. Father, we come before you now, thankful, grateful, blessed to be able to worship you on this Sunday morning. Help us to listen closely to what you have to tell us today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, as far as teachable, I don't know how much my wife would agree with that assessment, but here I am again. Y'all, I preached a few weeks ago, and you're having me back. It's okay, we all make mistakes, but here I am, and it is a joy to be able to preach the gospel to you. We're told in preaching class to, depending on the type of sermon, to set a sermon up with a hook, something that grabs the congregation right away. And recently I've had relationships, friendships, loving connections on my mind. So I was like, you know what? Here we go. I looked up what is the opposite of those things, right? What is the opposite of that? And I looked up the best PG-rated insults I could find. So PG-rated, they're clean. I have a question before I get started. Who here is a little sarcastic or has some dry humor? Do we have anyone like that? I see someone pointing to their, someone next to them be like, oh, that person. So as I give these to you, just know with great power comes great responsibility. Use them wisely, okay? I'm doing something dangerous here by giving you these PG-rated insults. I was once told I was more disappointing than an unsalted pretzel. Somewhere in France, a cathedral is missing a gargoyle. Even Mr. Rogers wouldn't want to be your neighbor. You're not pretty enough to get away with being that dumb. Apologize to that tree over there for wasting the oxygen that it works so hard to make. Now, if I heard this next one, I would be very devastated. Even Bob Ross would call you a mistake. You're not the dumbest person in the world, but you better hope they don't die. The bar was on the ground, and you grabbed a shovel. Now, I get this one a lot. Not a lot. I've gotten it a few times, which is kind of funny because I'm on the radio, but you've got a great face for radio. And then finally, I will not have a battle of wits with an unarmed man. As funny as these are, we do know that words can hurt. We naturally shy away from pain, whether it be emotional or physical. However, as we turn this sermon towards our topic today, remember, relationships, friendships, loving connections, sometimes pain in friendships is beneficial. It's needed. It's healthy. So with friendship on the brain and loving relationships in our mind, let's read our passage for today, Acts chapter 18, verses 24 through 28. Now a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was an eloquent man, competent in the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, those are church leaders, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he wished to cross to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. When he arrived, he greatly helped those who through grace had believed. For he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, showing by the scriptures that the Christ was Jesus. Let's pray. Father, may your word move powerfully through us. With your Holy Spirit, transform us. Open our hearts, open our ears to what you have to tell us today. In Jesus' name, amen. In church, we'll often talk about love, won't we? Friendships, relationships, be kind, be gracious, be patient. All of that's wonderful. We need sermons on those topics, Bible studies on those topics. That's great. But as I was crafting this sermon, I was thinking about, what about the other side of relationships? What about the other side of love? The part of love called tough love, we don't talk about as much. And here I am today with a sermon titled, Hurts So Good. If you know Acts, you know, some of you might be familiar with it, some of you might not. A lot of the book follows Paul as he's going all across the Mediterranean. He's preaching, he's teaching, he's evangelizing, he is planning churches, doing all these wonderful things. But then there's this little snippet in chapter 18, 24 through 28, where they decide to take a break from Paul for a little bit and talk about Apollos. It's for those of you here, who here likes TV shows? Do we have any TV show watchers? Depending on the type of show it is, you'll have an episode with a main plot that'll follow the characters. And then after the main plot, or kind of throughout the episode, they'll have subplots, like side things that are happening with other characters in the show. This passage here is a subplot. It's not following Paul, but some other characters in the book of Acts, and kind of walking through a story with them. So let's dive into the passage a little bit. Let's talk about it. And some of this information, sometimes preachers get in trouble with plagiarism. So I just want to preface that. You know, I think preachers, we need to do a good job of citing and quoting where we get our information. As I walk through this passage, I'm getting some information from the Bible Knowledge Commentary that you can use as well. So just so you know, what took place in verses 24 through 28 occurred after Paul left Ephesus and before he returned in chapter 19. During this interval between Paul leaving and coming back, a church had been started, probably under the influence from this passage of Priscilla and Aquila. And to this church came someone very gifted, great speaker, probably charismatic. His name was Apollos from Alexandria in Africa. So he comes from Alexandria, a powerful preacher. As a Jew, he knew the Old Testament scriptures very well. His doctrine regarding Jesus, and they talk about this in the passage, was accurate but deficient. So what he was saying was right, but it hadn't been fully updated to where the church was at the moment. So probably this means Apollos did not know about the, like, maybe Pentecost, Acts 2, the Holy Spirit's baptism. John's baptism, which is mentioned in the passage, symbolized cleansing by God because of repentance towards God. But Christian baptism pictures a union with Christ in his death, burial, resurrection by means of the Spirit. And that's what we remember. That's what we celebrate, right? We remember what God has done by his death, burial, and resurrection as we proclaim in our baptism to the public that we are with Jesus. Rather than correct Apollos publicly, Priscilla and Aquila do the right thing. They take him in private. They hear him preaching. They say, hey, why don't you come back to the house? Let's talk about some things. They invite him to their home and explain to him the way of God more adequately. So they go to Apollos. They take him in. They get him up to speed. They get him up to date. And then he is sent out again powerfully. So let's jump into some application, right? Let's jump into application. Are you a Priscilla and Aquila friend to those around you? Point one. Point two, do you surround yourself with Priscilla and Aquila friends? So are you one of those friends, and do you surround yourself with those friends? In normal situations, you see, we have two ways of making friends normally. You're either friends with someone because you've known them forever. Maybe you grew up with them. You went to school with them. Maybe you worked with them for years and years, and you've just been friends because, to be honest, there aren't a lot of other options. Like, they're just there, so you make friends with them, right? Nothing's wrong with that. We have lots of friends that have been with us a long way. Another way of making friends is you're around someone and you're like, hey, you have a personality, you're fun, you're into the things that I'm into. Well, we have similar interests. Let's spend more time together. Again, nothing's wrong with this. It's natural. But how many of us make friends this way? You look at someone in your life, someone that's been around, and say, hey, you, over there, you kick me in my rear end when I need it. You challenge me to be a better person. You hold me accountable, and you love me enough to tell me the hard truth. And it's because you love me with a tough love. Well, I want you to be my friend. That's not as common, is it? But here's the thing, church. We can't grow if we aren't living in community and holding each other accountable. We can't grow as a community and individually in our walk with God if we can't tell each other the difficult things. So going back to our passage, Apollos, he's kind of a big name now. He's popular. He's eloquent. He's charismatic. When Priscilla and Aquila went to him to correct him, he could have been like, y'all, do you see my platform? Do you see how many followers I have on Twitter and Instagram? I mean, Priscilla and Aquila, like, I'm here now. Y'all relax. He could have been like that way. He could have been, I don't want your help. I don't need your help. Look at the crowds. Priscilla and Aquila, for their part, could have rebuked him publicly and seen him as a threat. Here they are. They have this church in this city. People are going to it. And then this hotshot preacher comes in, preaching stuff. And they're like, oh, no, I am threatened. This guy has to go. But neither side did that. Priscilla and Aquila took him into their home and taught him, discipled him, and he responded graciously with these new developments, things he didn't know, and went out into further service. This illustrates a couple famous verses in Proverbs. And these verses come from Proverbs 27. I'll read them for you. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Wisdom from Proverbs for us today. So again, I ask these two questions. Are you a Priscilla and Aquila friend to those around you? Will you say the hard things in love, graciously? This is an opportunity. So for those of you, okay, those of you who are blunt and you say it how it is, you love these kind of sermons because you're like, ha, I am justified in being a huge jerk because I'm speaking the truth. No, uh-uh. You speak the truth, you speak it in love and graciously. Okay, so just a side note, you want to do it graciously. But are you a Priscilla and Aquila friend? And then number two, do you surround yourself with just yes men and yes women that tell you what you want to hear, that make you comfortable, that, as Proverbs puts it, multiplies kisses? Or do you surround yourself with people that will speak the truth into your life for the glory of God? An example of this is in the Old Testament, Jeremiah 28. I won't read the whole passage, but what was happening in this story, Jeremiah 28, Judah was being besieged by Babylon. And it wasn't looking good, folks. Nebuchadnezzar was knocking on the door. Everyone was scared. Everyone was afraid. And then you had Hananiah and you had Jeremiah, two prophets. Hananiah was like, hey, friends, it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. It's all going to turn out good. Nebuchadnezzar's going to leave and we'll be okay. Jeremiah was like, no, that's not a word from God. Nebuchadnezzar is going to come and Babylon's going to win this war against Judah. Now tell me, what message, if you're a Judean, do you want to hear? Do you want to hear from Hananiah telling you that it's all going to be okay? Or do you want to hear from Jeremiah saying that the sins of Judah has been so great, Nebuchadnezzar is going to come into this place and win this war? Well, if you're like me, you want to hear the good stuff. They wanted to listen to Hananiah instead of Jeremiah. Even though Jeremiah was right, they wanted to hear the good things. It didn't turn out well for Judah. Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon did win. Jeremiah was right, Hananiah was wrong, and then God, you know, it says in verse 17, in the seventh month of that same year, so a little while after this prophecy battle, Hananiah the prophet died. That's what happens when you, in the Old Testament, you are a false prophet. Now, maybe you aren't a false prophet. You're like, okay, come on, that's dramatic. We don't have Babylon knocking down our doors here. It's smoke rise. Come on now. And maybe you don't end up dying when you tell a lie. Fair enough. I sure hope not. But bad friends who only seek to please don't glorify God. And without the truth, we are left to wither and die in our sin. No, we don't want to live in lies and confusion. We want a better way. And what is this better way? Right? How do we not be a Hananiah? We don't want to surround ourselves with Hananiahs, and we don't want to be a Hananiah. Well, we look to the cross, friends. Jesus loved us so much that he came down to earth to tell you and I that we're sinners. Friends, we live in a culture, in an age where that's not a popular message. You say the word sin out in culture, people might laugh at you, look at you funny, like, oh, that's kind of outdated. Outmoded. That's not fashionable anymore. But God loved you so much to tell you the truth about your soul. You were dead in your sins so that you can repent, believe, turn from your sins, believe in Jesus Christ, and his grace saves you. How do we not be Hananias? Well, we have the gospel. As Christians, we are to love like Christ, and that means all the good times. Remember, at the beginning of the sermon, I told you we talk about love and grace and patience, all those good things. That's great. Enjoy those positive things. Enjoy your life. Enjoy your job. Enjoy the fruits of your work. We read that in Ecclesiastes. Enjoy your friends. Enjoy God's creation. But what that also means, church, is that we are called by God to give other people tough love when they need it. Some of us are people pleasers. That's me. Go along to get along. Don't rock the boat. We want people to like us. But we are called to give people in our lives, in a culture, tough love, speaking the truth graciously. And then, like two sides to a coin, you flip it. Also, when people give us tough love, when our spouses maybe bring up things that we don't like, maybe our kids tell us something that we know is true, but do you really want to listen to your kid? Probably not sometimes. You can't dish it if you can't take it. And we have to be able to do both with humility and kindness. Speaking of dishes, recently I was washing the dishes. I was tired. It was late at night. It's what I needed to do, but I didn't feel like it. So I kind of breezed through it, right? It's like, oh, okay, looks good. Okay, looks good. The next morning, next day sometime, my wife comes to me with a couple of those dishes that I just ran through. Just, all right, let's get this done. And she's like, so Nate, these dishes aren't very clean at all. Like, maybe let's put, just a little bit more effort, just maybe a little bit more care. She said it graciously. And then I had a choice there, right? My wife corrected me, rightfully so. I could have been like, do you know how hard I work? Do you know how late it was? I do this or that. Or I could have been like, you know what? You're right. I just need to be more careful. You can't dish it if you can't take it. You have to be able to give tough love and accept tough love. I have another question for you. What kind of church do you want Smoke Rise to be? Is this a social club to you? Where you go because we're in the South, it's what you do, you're a part of a church, or, it just kind of how you just go see your friends? Or are we building a powerful force in the culture, knocking down the forces of evil with the power of God? Do we check on each other? Check on your neighbor. How are they doing? COVID was rough on a lot of people. Do we live life with each other? That's how you grow closer to God individually, right? We have a personal relationship with Him, but also as a community. We hold each other accountable so that when we face the world, we're unified. So as we continue with our application for today, I have a few questions for you. Do you personally have a spiritual mentor? Someone who helps you walk through your life? Someone you trust to ask the deep questions? Do you personally have a group of friends you rely on for godly wisdom? Have you surrounded yourself with Priscillas and Aquilas? And then when you flip that coin, are you that kind of friend? Let's do it now. I know we love personal reflection. It just, we love these weird preachers that come into our church and step on our toes. I know it's everyone's favorite thing, but let's reflect a little bit. Let's look at those closest to us. Run them through your mind, the people closest to you. Do they speak truth in your life? Also, do you speak truth in theirs? If Smoke Rise is going to be a light for Christ in our community, we need these loving relationships. We need the connections, the patience, the grace, the love, the kindness, the warm fuzzies, but we need the tough love that hurts so good. Why is this? The gospel is why. God gave us tough love. He said no to us first so that He could then say yes to us in Jesus. God is love, and He loved us, and we are to love others with that same love. We're not going to be perfect, but that's why we have the grace of Jesus, the grace of Jesus Christ, and it's for His forgiveness we proclaim to the world. Tough love hurts so good. Tough love hurts so good, so we need to give that tough love to others. We have to be able to receive it too. So, church, I will leave you with one gospel command from God. Go love somebody. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful for your tough love you showed us. We're thankful for the Priscillas and the Aquilas who teach us the truth in love graciously. And we're thankful for the Apolloses that accept that truth and use it to then glorify you even more. Father, help us to be a church that loves our community. Help us to be a church that shares the gospel with all the good things and all the things we might not want to hear. And above all, Lord, We're thankful for Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. In Jesus' name, amen.